We cannot truly live on just the things of this earth. We live only on every word that comes from your mouth. Give us your word today. Strengthen us. Keep us in the faith. Help us to hear and to believe. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. 68. Why am I mentioning the number 68? Well, on the prayer list that we have, and you have that on the announcement sheet as you depart if you'd like to look at that, we have 68 names on that prayer list. And that's just, as we know, a small sample of people that really need prayer in our congregation, among our family and friends. It's a small little sample. 68 people that need healing. Physical healing, mental healing, psychological healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, healing. How we need healing. I know we are in kind of a rough economy, but I imagine that doctors are doing pretty well because people still need healing. And most people still go see their doctor. And I don't think that Walgreens and CVS are doing all that bad in a bad economy. People still want their medicine. They want to feel better. Give me the medicine. Give me something. Healing. That's our topic today. Heaven is a place of ultimate healing of body, mind, soul, emotional healing, psychological healing, mental healing, physical healing, healing of relationships, total healing for the church. We're in the middle of a sermon series that I've had on the 10 comforts of heaven. Those comforts are printed there on the back of your bulletin. I refer you to that. And these comforts are found in Revelation 7, 15 through 17, a great text. I've encouraged you to memorize these 10 comforts. We have the 10 commandments memorized, and that's good. How much more these 10 comforts? So probably next Sunday, we'll have various people stand up and say these from memory without using their notes. Am I right, Pat and Harriet? You ready to go? Memorize these 10 comforts, but more so believe them and know them in your heart what they mean. And we have learned so far that heaven's a place of honor for the church. For as 1 and 2 tell us, we are before the throne of God, serve Him day and night in His temple. How honored we are, front and center, right there in heaven, not over here in the corner. We've learned that heaven is a place of great, unspeakable happiness for the church. How we are so fulfilled and free and fearless. For as 3 through 7 tell us, He who sits on the throne will shelter them. We're safe and secure, sheltered. And so we're happy because there's no enemies. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. We are filled, content, satisfied, so we are happy. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. There's no punishment at all in heaven. And so we are free in every way to love God and love each other. And so we are happy. And now today I want to talk about the final three comforts, which talk about healing. Healing. And then next Sunday I'll finish talking about all 10 together as heaven being our home that we never have to leave. That next Sunday as we finish the church here. Let's talk about 8, 9, and 10 and how it refers to healing of body and soul and all things for us, the church in heaven. Comfort number 8 says, the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. This is really quite amazing. I know it's a simple thing to say, Jesus will be our shepherd. This is one of the most loved pictures of our relationship with God that we have in the whole Bible, of shepherd and sheep. You recall Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I what? I shall not want, and He feeds me and leads me to the still waters and so forth. You think of John 10, Jesus says, I am the good what? I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My sheep listen to my voice. All that comes to mind. It's one of the most loving, wonderful pictures of us and God. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. His tender, loving care for us. What's amazing to me is that in comfort 1 and 2, God is on the throne. Picture the scene. God's on the throne, sitting there, and we, the church, with the angels and all the creatures of heaven, we are praising Him. We are serving Him, comfort too. We're praising Him, lauding Him, adoring Him, all attention on God. We can't praise Him enough for what He's done for us. God sits there and receives our praise, which is a big part of heaven. But now, in comfort 8, it's like God says, okay, I like your praise, I like you to love me, but now it's time for me to do what I like to do, which is to serve you, church. And so it's like He gets up from behind the throne and says, I'm still your shepherd, I want to take care of you. What do sheep, after all, really do for a shepherd? Except cause them problems. What do we really do for God? Yes, we praise Him and thank Him, but it's little compared to what He does for us. It's like God says, okay, I love your praise, but now it's time for me to provide for you. I get up from my throne to take care of my sheep. And God even does that in heaven. God's not a God who just, all right, praise me, give me your gifts, come on, give it to me. God's ever down with us, our shepherd, wanting to care for us, even in heaven. Heaven is a place where we praise God more so. Heaven's a place where God the shepherd provides for the sheep and takes care of us, serving us. Heaven's a place where we serve God, yes, more so. A million times more so. It's a place God serves us because He loves us. We're His sheep. Heaven's a place where we love God. Yes, we love Him perfectly. But more so, a million times more, it's a place where God loves us and gives to us. What a God we have, ever giving and giving. That's who He is, a God of love who gives. He does it in heaven. I recall the words of Jesus, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what? But to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. That's God. Yeah, God gets service. He likes that, but He comes to serve and give His life. And Jesus does that. And that's what the Good Shepherd does today. We are here to be served by God. It's a worship service. Who's doing the serving? God is doing the serving. God washes us, absolution. God teaches us. You just sit like sheep and a fat sheep receiving. You come up and you eat, He feeds you, puts it in your mouth. God does the serving. God does the forgiving. God does the strengthening. God's the shepherd who loves His sheep. And that goes up on into heaven where God serves and gives. What a God. Reminds me, I went to Illinois for Thanksgivings where my mom's mom and dad lived, and we had big Thanksgiving dinner. And I remember growing up as a little boy, my mom, her sister and her brother, the adults, would say to grandma, my grandma, look, grandma, we will take care of everything. You know, we'll make the turkey, we'll make the dressing, the mashed potatoes, we'll bring the pumpkin pie, we will do everything. We just want you to sit at the head of the table, grandma, just sit and receive, because you're our grandma, we love you, just sit and receive. And how long did that last? You know grandmas? Grandma would sit for a little while. Oh, this is so nice. Thank you. Then what would grandma do? Get up from behind the table. Do the grandkids need something? Do they need Paul, you need pumpkin pie? Here's the whipped cream. Who needs more turkey, more dressing? Who needs what? She's up serving. And what's the rest of the people doing? Grandma, sit down, sit down. No. It's my house. I want to serve my children and my grandchildren. So sit down and let me serve. And that's God. Sit down and let me serve you. That's who I am. 9 and 10, what exactly does the shepherd do for the sheep? 9, he will guide them to springs of living water. That sounds wonderful. What does it mean? Springs of living water is a phrase in the Bible for life. For life. Not any old life of eating, drinking, breathing, your heart beating, your existing. That's existence. God gives life and gives it to the full in the Spirit. This is healing, you see, a new life. A immortal life. A life of the Holy Spirit. A new mind, a new heart, a new soul. I'm a new person, a new body. All that's implied. And the shepherd does what for the sheep? The shepherd raises the sheep from the dead and gives them abundant life in every way, mentally, emotionally, physically, every way gives them life in fullness. To me, springs of living water means resurrection. He will raise the sheep from the dead and give them brand new bodies. The first time you have this phrase, springs of water, is in the book of Genesis, and it's very significant. God makes everything, and then we read in Genesis 2, where it says rain did not come upon the earth yet, but there were springs or streams of water that came up from the earth and watered the earth. And then you know what happens right after that? When it mentions that springs of water come up and water the earth, right after that, out of that watery mud, God creates Adam. Out of that mud. Right before that, springs of water watering the earth. So the earth is not just dry dust. The earth is mud. It's water and mud. That's how God creates. Water and word. Baptism, right? He created everything by the Holy Spirit with water. The Spirit hovered over the surface of the deep, Genesis 1 says. Creates. Water is creation. Water is life. And so just like, this is to recall creation. Just like God made Adam out of nothing, out of mud, so God will take the ashes of the sheep that have died. He'll raise them from the grave, their broken bones, their ashes. Wherever you scatter your ashes across the world, He will take those ashes, your dust. He will recreate you, give you the resurrection of your flesh. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that the body in heaven will be a new body. It'll be immortal. It'll be powerful, able to do all things God wants us to do. No limitations, folks. No wheelchairs. No limping along. No bad back. No sickness or disease. A powerful body. A glorious body. A body that will shine like the sun. Daniel 12, shine like the stars. Glorious. The springs of living water are not for the sheep to play in. It's nice to play in a waterfall. It's the resurrection of their flesh. Just like God created Adam from nothing, from the water and the mud. And by His breath, God recreates His sheep. Healing. You want healing? Ultimate healing is to be given a whole new body. A whole new soul, a whole new mind. You're a new person. And even now we have that in baptism. This is very baptismal language. You think of a spring of water, it comes down on the earth, it comes up. In baptism, we are down here in the muck and mud of sin and hell. And the baptismal water grabs a hold of us, washes us, and now it's lifting us up from this earth all the way to paradise, where the power of baptism gives us a whole new flesh, along with our new heart and our new mind right now, all by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. You know, I said Wednesday in church, there was this auction. And at this auction I mentioned Wednesday, they sold a piece of cake from William and Kate's wedding. And that piece of cake went for $7,500. You know what else they sold at this auction? They sold the dress of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, that nice blue dress she wore, Judy Garland. You know what that dress, that pretty blue dress, sold for at auction? $480,000. For an old blue dress of Dorothy. We all want to be clothed. We all want a new dress, a new body. We get something better than some lousy old blue dress. We get new flesh, a new heart, a new mind, a new body. We believe in the resurrection of the body, immortal and glorious. And what does that cost? Us, it's free, a gift. It cost Christ His life. We have the springs of living water because He went to the depths of the fires of hell for us. He paid for all by His death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. This is resurrection language. Healing. And then He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Number 10. To me, this is referring to the resurrection of all the other people that we miss and mourn and grieve. For what point is there if God raises me from the dead, but there's nobody else there? And all my loved ones are still in the grave. All right, God, it's you and I in heaven. I guess that's okay, but where's mom and dad? Where's grandpa and grandma? Where's all my loved ones? Where's the church? I'll weep and cry because I miss all of them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. I think this is referring mainly to how he's going to raise all of our loved ones from their graves. We'll be reunited to them and have the healing of relationships, a reunion of love. All those people that we miss, that we grieve over. Maybe there was resentment, there were problems, we regret this and that we did to them. All that's gone away. And we are reunited with all the loved ones in heaven, perfect in love. And that is healing in every way. Healing of my body, healing of others, healing of relationships. Wow! Perfect new life. You read in the Gospels and Jesus takes away tears. And I'll mention four times he takes away tears. Luke chapter 7. The widow of Nain is going to bury her dead son. And what does Jesus say to her? Don't cry. Read it. Don't you realize, woman, I've come to dry up your tears. See, the pastor can't dry up your tears. I can't raise your loved one from the grave. My job is not to dry up your tears, it's to get you through the tears. That the Lord loves you. But I can't raise somebody from the dead. We have a funeral today, Ruth Schultz. I can't raise her from the dead. Neither can you. God will. He'll wipe away the tears in the end. He says to the woman, don't cry. I have come to wipe away your tears. And how does Jesus wipe away your tears? He doesn't just put his arm around her and say, isn't it so sad that your son died? I'm here for you. He raises the boy from the dead and gives the boy back to his mom. That's how he wipes away tears. And then Luke chapter 8. Little 12-year-old Jairus' daughter is dead. A 12-year-old girl, tragedy, dead. And what does Jesus do? He comes right into the scene of death. Jesus ruins every funeral he's ever at. Where there's weeping, and what's he say there? He says, don't cry. She's only sleeping, don't cry. I have come to wipe away your tears. And how does Jesus do it? He raises her from the dead and gives this little girl back to mom and dad, and there's great joy. That's how he wipes away tears. He raises our loved ones from the dead. John chapter 11, Lazarus is dead. Mary and Martha crying, weeping, old crowd crying, weeping. Jesus weeps himself, the Bible says. He weeps. And what does Jesus do? Jesus says, I am the resurrection, the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And then what does Jesus do? He raises Lazarus from the tomb and unwraps him and gives him back to Mary and Martha. He dries up his own tears by raising Lazarus from the dead. And then John 20, dear Mary Magdalene, Easter morning. And Mary Magdalene is crying and weeping. And two times there, the angels ask her, why are you crying? And then Jesus, who she thinks is the gardener, says, why are you crying, woman? Why are you weeping? Don't you realize I've come to wipe away your tears? And how does Jesus do it? By saying to her, Mary. And she turns and sees her risen Savior. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And all her tears are wiped away. God wipes away tears by raising our loved ones from the grave as well as us. And seeing him, of course, too, above all. I'll see my dad again. I'll see grandpas and grandmas. I'll see my dear friend Gordy, my fourth grade friend killed in a terrible car accident by somebody. I'll see him again. You'll see your loved ones face to face. Perfect reunion. No more tears. I was at Ingles the other day, checking out at Ingles, and the gal checked me out and have a nice evening, sir. And I said, yeah. I said, you have a good evening. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Just being nice, you know, I'm a nice guy. She said to me, well, I hope so. And I said to her, you know, myself ever being the conversationalist, I said, oh, come on, you know, Thanksgiving, football, fun, family, food. Then my F, it goes right there too, Melanie. Just comes off my lips. And she said, well, football and food's okay, but you've never met my family. I didn't want to do counseling there at the Ingles checkout. I said, you haven't met my family either, my three brothers either. Okay? There's a woman not looking forward to Thanksgiving because there's tension with family. There's awkwardness, conflict. Are you looking forward to Thanksgiving, I ask, in Bible class today? Are you really looking forward to it, or is there awkwardness with some family member, some grudge you're holding, some sin, something in the past you just don't really want to go? All that is gone in heaven. He will raise our loved ones. There's no more sin, no more grudges, no more regrets, no more resentment. None of that past. It's all forgiven and gone. Perfect love with each other and above all flowing from our God. So, heaven's a place of honor, a place of unspeakable happiness, a place of ultimate healing. God raises us from the dead. God raises our loved ones from the dead and wipes away every tear from our eyes. Next Sunday, heaven is our eternal home. Amen.